Cool.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. It's really good to see you. Lovely weather. Got our shorts on. In fact, Simon and I, just come up, Simon. Great. Brother from another mother. We said, what should we wear today? Let's go for our pink shorts and white shirt combo. So that's what we've done, just to, that's very biblical as well, actually. You'll see it in there somewhere. So it's great to be with you. If you're visiting us, a number of new faces, great to see you here. We pray that you've just sensed the Lord's presence with us as the band have led us. So just encourage us to come now and really submit yourself to God's word. That's not submitting to people as such, although I think there are encouragements for that as well. It's just saying to the Lord, Lord, speak to me now. I just really pray you've got something for me. This is a bit of a nonsense, isn't it, in this day and age that, you know, Sunday by Sunday we come to a book thousands of years old and somehow have this sense that it might speak to us. It doesn't make sense, yet God has ordained it as a way to communicate. He's left us the Bible and he encourages us to study it, to get to grips with us, and he gives certain people and he gathers his community. And he says, right, just come before my word and see what it says, see what happens. So I just really encourage you to do that. It doesn't make sense in this day and age, you know, in our Western autonomous society, but let's do that. So Lord, we just ask now as we come to your word, we bless you for one another. We thank you for worship. We thank you for community. We thank you for relationship. We thank you for food and fun. And we thank you for your word, Lord. Many of us would say we don't know where we'd be without it. The foundation it's been to us. And I just pray it would be clear, helpful, a foundation to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're partway through a series about the seasons of life. And I said when we started this, we could have done, you know, we could do years worth of this. There are just so many different seasons. And some of these seasons are seasons kind of most of us will inevitably go through. Last week, we heard from the Youth for Christ team, great job, about teenaging. Most of us have been through that season, okay? For many of us, it was a few years ago. But most of us, and then there are seasons that not necessarily all of us face. And this is one of those today. We're going to look today at kind of the whole subject of weariness, exhaustion, and burnout, okay? And what we said is, what we want with this series is that those of us in the season, it might be helpful. Those of us around people who we think are going through seasons, we might help them. And then for others of us, maybe some of these seasons, this is one today, to avoid, if at all possible. And how can we help people? How can we prepare ourselves for it? Anyway, so one of the things we wanted to do during this series is have folks just share testimony as appropriate. So I've asked Simon to come up and share. Simon, for those who don't know, was one of our church leaders until, yeah, what do you mean, come up now? Yeah. Was one of our church leaders until only recently. And just has got a testimony, really, of God with him through such a season. So let's welcome Simon, shall we? Yeah.
Okay. Cool, blimey, I didn't think it was going to be like this. Let's start with God has been really, really good. And I was really struck this morning with a song. There's a new day every morning. A new day every morning. And I'm so grateful that I get to have that. Because God's good. God's really good. When I could have lost, well, I did lose everything, and so I'm supposed to speak just for 10 minutes, so we'll see how we go. Anyway, So I'm somebody, personality-wise, who strives a lot. And back in the day when I burnt out when I was 30, I was still very young, striving to achieve, that period in your life when you're looking to achieve, accumulate, make some wealth, maybe buy a house, build a reputation in terms of what you're doing in your career. And coming from an immigrant background, working in a takeaway, it was all about hard work, you know. That's what you're kind of wired to do. And I'd like to say I was relatively successful at the time. You know, the period of life when this all happened, I was working in Hong Kong with HSBC. I was in a regional leadership job. I was the youngest person in the team. I was the only non-expat in the team. So again, striving to be better than those around me. You know, I felt the need to just really be seen. So I worked really hard in terms of long hours, a bit of a workaholic. I went out in the evenings as well to socialize, to kind of be seen and be there and kind of hear what's going on, with a desire to belong. So that was a period of time when I was working really hard. I was going to be a father for the first time. So Kieran was going to be born then. So I was working really long hours, traveling a lot, not sleeping much, drinking far too much, not being prepared to be a father, and then losing loads of sleep. And during that time, I also then got headhunted for a new job, which is an even bigger job that I wanted. And at that period, Su Jung was away studying to teach Korean. Suffice to say, I had a breakdown. There were lots of signs beforehand in terms of not sleeping and blackouts. And Su Jung came home and the place was a mess. So I'd been living on my own, quite isolated. But when I went away on one of the business trips to Germany, I had a massive breakdown. Didn't know where I was, didn't know what was going on. Suffice to say, I was flown back to the UK. I ended up in the Linden unit in Rugby. Basically, we couldn't go back to Hong Kong. We lost our flat. I lost my job. We got into loads of debt because when I was in a period of high, because I've been diagnosed as bipolar, I'd spent lots of money on lots of things. And then my parents had to come and parachute me back to the UK, basically. So having been a successful business person, I was parachuted back to the bedroom in my parents' house in Rugby that I'd not lived in since I was 18 with my wife and my young son. Wasn't able to leave the room for about 3 months. So it's a pretty dark time. That period, subsequently I've learned actually, that period when I was being diagnosed in the Linden unit, I came very close to being sectioned. Because I wasn't very aware of what was going on, but luckily I wasn't. I wouldn't wish that on anybody in terms of the burnout, in terms of working really hard, not having people around you, somewhat being arrogant in terms of wanting to be able to do things. But it was also a period when I was just become a Christian as well, so there's quite a lot of things going on. But one of the moments I'm really kind of thankful for is, and this is where it all gets into maybe some of the lessons, but during that time, Grapevine Church, for those of you who know in Hillmorton, my parents live in Hillmorton, so Su Jung wanted to go to the church because that's all she had. You know, we'd lost everything. So we went over to Grapevine Church and Phil Gregg was there. It's a very small church, but for some reason, they knew there was something wrong with my mind. And we went over there and they called us out. And they anointed me with oil. It was one of the most amazing things in terms of just being blessed by God in terms of that anointing. So from there, kind of just slowly being able to get out of the house again and just kind of get back into life. So yeah, that's kind of a bit of a story of where I've been. It's very, very painful. John 15 comes to mind. It's a verse for me, you know, about being every branch being cut back to bear fruit. He cuts very deeply if you don't listen and you keep striving away, but he does bear fruit. And there's, I think Paul asked me to share maybe three lessons I've learnt from all of this. God is always at work around you. You may not know, he is always doing something around you. And you know, as I had my breakdown, one of our previous pastors from Hong Kong, we went to visit him down in Oxford because he was translating the Bible for an unreached group in China. He gave us a word that I will place you back with double portion where you were. Suffice to say, we did end up going back to Hong Kong, which I never thought I would ever do. You know, I was doing warehouse work when I first was able to speak and walk out again, thinking I was a broken person who would never heal. So he's always at work around you, doing something, laying breadcrumbs. And the amazing thing, and this has got to be God. So we left in 2005, went to Hong Kong. We came back to the UK in 2017, and we walked through Beck. Beck is the church that we came to choose to. And lo and behold, who do I see when I walk into Beck? This wonderful gentleman here, Jeff Cotterill, who was the doctor and the family doctor that looked after me when I came back during that breakdown. How amazing is that, that I could be brought to this particular church and this wonderful man that saved my life is here? God knows, he really does. It's unbelievable. You know, and God's pursuing a continuous and loving relationship with you that is real and personal. I know that now. Every single morning, you know, I know he's chasing after me. He's just chasing after me. You know, he keeps pruning. He keeps pruning, but he's also bearing fruit. And he just keeps chasing me every single day. And he wants that for you too. He wants a personal relationship with you that's loving. It's real. It's true. I know that. Having been to that dark, dark place, I know how much love he has for me. And then God invites you to become involved with him in his work. There's always an invitation around you. And if you're aware of it, you'll step into it. You know, I try now, one of my learnings is to listen to God. Stop trying to do everything I want to do and spend time listening to what's his invitation. And especially to let other people speak into your life. You know, Sujong still keeps talking to me about stuff, but she didn't know what was going on with me. There's no word for bipolar in Korean. We didn't understand it back in the day. And to allow people to speak into your life, you know, I was pretty arrogant. I knew what I was doing, driven. It's like, but people around you are speaking on behalf of God with words for you. So he is always at work. He's always inviting you. And what I've learned is actually if I listen to God and I step into the invitation, he will make the path easy and straight, and he will bless you and provide. And I've learned that again from, you know, these invitations, us getting back to Hong Kong, coming to Beck, you know, stepping out as a church leader. It's sometimes those invitations are a bit strange, but you know, step out and he will bless you. So I've probably gone on a bit, but yeah, there you go. Don't work too hard and love your people around you and let them speak into your life.
So I just want to say a couple of things, really. One is, obviously, these guys have both talked, and I'm going to mention it in a minute in the time left. If you like, of the far end of the spectrum of exhaustion, burnout into breakdown, at the far end of that spectrum, and it would appear it is a spectrum. We're not going to deal with that this morning. We're not going to deal with the far end because I'm not equipped to. So some of the things that have been mentioned here this morning, and I realise, and perhaps particularly young people, even some of the things that have just been shared can make us feel uncomfortable. I just encourage parents to just reassure children at some point about some of the things you've heard there. But We do have, as we've said, a pastoral care team here. If you're concerned for yourself or concerned for someone else, get in touch with our pastoral care team. But probably most of all, get in touch with your doctor, okay? If that's the end of the spectrum, we're not going to deal with that this morning. What I want to do, Simon's mentioned, this is a journey sometimes into some of these issues, some of which is avoidable, and that's more where we're going to speak to this morning. So just to reassure you on that. I do think there's something, actually, when you were speaking to someone, I think there's something for perhaps some folks here that you're in a situation, and it may not be to do with, you know, burnout and all of that. It could be other issues. But Simon's story is one of restoration. And God is about that. I love that God's about that. You know, I'll restore the years the locusts have eaten. I just feel for some folks here today, maybe, you need to hear that. And I'd even encourage you, Simon and Sue Jung, myself, Ali, whoever, Georgina, Peter, we'll be willing to pray for you. We'd love to pray for you. We've got a prayer ministry team. Just that God will give you hope that there is restoration for you and to know that he's about that. Okay, so Lord, we're going where angels fear to tread a little bit. So we're going to do that now in Jesus' name. Guide and lead. So this is a fella. Some of you will recognize him. Some of you won't. Some of you may have seen him. This is a gentleman called Jurgen Klopp. Okay, it won't surprise you to know he is a football team manager. It won't surprise you to know he's something to do with football, given my penchant for football and sport. So Jurgen Klopp, there's a lot about this guy I really like. He's warm. He's a great, you know, they call him man manager, arm around the shoulder, kind of father figure to a lot of young players. He's got a great mouth of teeth. But also this, last season he was managing Liverpool, who are our football team, for those of you who don't know, quite successful, and he'd had some success. And, you know, all was going well to all intents and purposes. And partway through the season, he announced he was going to step down. And I would have showed you a short clip of that, his reasoning for that. But it turns out because we're streaming, it can't go out on YouTube. But fundamentally, he says a couple of things in that. One is he says, I run out of energy. I'm running out of energy. And then he describes the kind of relentlessness of football management. And he said, I can't keep doing it season after season. And he says, again and again and again and again. And just the way he says it, you can sense there's something he feels that is just inescapable. Just this, you know, pressure upon him. And I don't know whether this is speaking to anyone. Just this pressure upon him that this feels relentless. So what did he do? Now, he was in a position to do it, but I think all God makes us all autonomous. And he said, I'm going to step back. Successful, the club are going well, everything's looking good. No, there's something going on in me that I see something coming down the road that isn't going to be good for me, and that ain't going to happen, and I'm going to step away from this, says Jurgen. I take my hat off to the bloke. So we're looking today at exhaustion and burnout. And I want to say there's hope. There's hope. Look at what Isaiah says. Israel is there. It's prophesied they're going to go into exile. It's going to be difficult for them. Is God going to look after them? Is he with them? And God says to them, why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. I know there's been times in my life when I've been going at it and I'm looking around, either going, why is no one else working as hard as I am? Or, God, why am I feeling so worn out? Where are you? Complaining. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. The word there is choice men. It's basically people at their peak. Even people at their peak, warriors, stumble and fall. We can look around so often, but I dare say people looked around at Simon. I bet he was there. I mean, he's a smart geezer now, but I bet he was there in his suit and it looked like he had everything. But even people in their peak, 30-year-olds, stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. So I want to speak a little bit almost about becoming eagles. We can rise. God says we can soar above our circumstances like eagles. I love, this is really encouraging me as the years go past. I love this verse. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, eagles pluck out their feathers and their wings are renewed and their youth is renewed. And God says that can happen to you. Anyone up for that? Anyone up for their youth being renewed? Okay, I'm not saying you have to go back to teenage years and go through all that again and the angst of that. So what are we talking about here today? Well, like I say, I am not claiming, I do not want to be an amateur psychologist here this morning, but I did want to try and be a little bit accurate about some of these issues and what we are talking about and what we're not talking about. But the issue of burnout, fatigue, exhaustion is hugely prevalent. Surveys have been done that tell us a third of adults feel fatigue all or most of the time. I think that could be higher, but it says a third. And interestingly, it's particularly prevalent, it seems to me, from just looking at some, you know, good articles amongst professions like the medical profession. There's a paradox there to me. Like, what? Sorry, what? We know the stuff. We know how to look after ourselves somehow, but and yet we fail to do so. And we have surveys that tell us that many of us, even the thought of work in the morning makes us feel exhausted. Even the thought of it. So these things are epidemic, but I'm encouraged that as society, I think, we're becoming aware. These are some celebrities, Lady Gaga, Sandra Bullock, and that fella on the right there, who've realised, who've taken time out because they felt they're burnt out. So we are a bit more cognizant of this stuff. You know, there probably were generations, I dare say some of you, that kind of your encouragement was just, well, pull yourself together and plow on. I'm not sure that's what God would have for us. So these conditions related to fatigue, it seems, are on a spectrum, you know, from tiredness, weariness, extreme tiredness, into exhaustion, burnout, and then more serious issues if we let that go on. And like I say, you know, if there are concerns about that either we or those around us are at the more serious end, I just encourage us. We've got a PCCT team here, pastoral care team, to talk to as a first port of call. But if issues are really serious, then, like I say, consult medical professionals. But let's have a look then. Let's look for some biblical wisdom with regards to these issues. I'm challenged, kind of encouraged by Elijah. Because it says Elijah was a human being just like we are. Now, some of the encouragement there is he yet did amazing things. Because God's power, we know, don't we, rests on weakness. But Elijah undoubtedly went through some stuff related to these issues. This is what it says in 1 Kings 19. Elijah's just had this amazing experience. 1 Kings 18 on Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal have been put to flight. It's almost like this amazing high, some achievement, and then the come down. Have any of us experienced that in life? It's amazing high, project, whatever it is, some achievement, some post achieve. Some career ambition achieved, some family situation, a high, and then a come down. I was listening to the Olympics, you know, that have just kicked off, and about Adam Peaty. Some of you will have heard of Adam Peaty, a British swimmer, was phenomenally successful and then had an injury and didn't succeed and really struggled with that because it was the achievement that he was after and then he didn't achieve, but even he... But therefore, there's something about him that he couldn't be without achievement. And it turns out he really dug into it. He crashed a bit, but whether he found faith, whether he had faith previously, but undoubtedly he's, you know, coming out clearly with a Christian faith at the moment. Success doesn't always solve issues. And it says this, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. So many of us live in a world of threat. I'm not saying from persecution or our life threatened, but we just feel threat. Maybe it was our upbringing, maybe it's our situation, maybe it's the pressure, but we feel threat, pressure. Intense pressure. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. He takes himself off. Now that can be good, but equally, I think as we're going to see, Elijah found himself isolated, alone. There's some real lessons in here about how to deal with things and how not to deal with things. Isolated, being alone is not necessarily the best solution. Now, he did have rest, as we'll see. He prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. Anyone ever said that line? I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. I don't necessarily think he's suicidal here. But he's just looking at his life and going, what have I achieved? What's it amounted to? He's certainly hopeless, despondent. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Basically, what happens here is he sleeps, he eats well, he rests. Exhaustion, burnout, you know, some of the slippery slope is because those things aren't happening, as I'm going to share. I'm going to skip through this, but basically, we can see here, Elijah is in this situation where he's experiencing this intensity, this pressure, and his mental health, we would say now, is a bit dark, and he's struggling, and certainly his physical capability is undermined. The World Health Organization has classified burnout as a disease, particularly related to stress. And the World Health Organization particularly relates it to the workplace and the stress of the workplace. But I think this is applicable as well to many in demanding and stressful situations, not just related to work. I think you can be... Obviously, it goes without saying, you can be exhausted and probably reach burnout as a single parent. My mum was a single parent. I just reflected on it today. I've never really seen it. What pressure must she have been under? I mean, quite apart from the fact that she had three kids who were just like all over the place. But just, I take my hat off to those of you who are single parents. You know, trying to do the job of two parents, probably working, trying to hold down a job and look after your kids, and there's no respite. Lord, I pray, even this morning, hold out hope to those folks, and may we get around them as a church. Single parents, those of you caring for elderly relatives, I've talked with some of you, and you're up and down motorways, you know, hours at a time to then go and look after an elderly relative and some of the stress of that. So this whole scenario isn't just work and workplace and stress related from the workplace. One of the first writers on burnout, in fact, I think he coined the phrase, was a guy, Albert Freudenberger, who in the 70s wrote about work-related burnout. And he said this, it's becoming exhausted by making excessive demands on energy, strength, or resources. So it's when things are too much, there's too many demands, and there's not enough in the tank. I remember somebody saying to me not so long back, and it just really was really helpful, your inflow pipe into the tank has to be bigger than your outflow pipe. Your inflow pipe has to be bigger than your outflow pipe, because if you are always giving out, if the demands are such that your energy, strength, resources, headspace, all of it is always giving out, and there's no inflow, you can do that for a season, but you can't do it forever. So it's this piece around excessive. Are some of the demands on you excessive where they continue for a long time? And there are 12 stages of burnout. You won't be able to read that. And I won't go through this as fully as I thought I might. But there are 12 stages that Frodenberger came up with for burnout. And I think I'll just cite some of them. And I think as you listen to this, you'll see actually some of them relate to Elijah. But just be attentive. Is there anything in here for us? What are these stages? Firstly, starts with, says Frodenberger, excessive ambition. Simon cited it was ambition was in there. Excessive ambition. Burnout begins in a seemingly harmless way. And then it morphs into a compulsion to prove your worth to yourselves and others. Excessive ambition. Working harder. Work, for example, begins to bleed into your personal life. Any of this that I share this morning, I can give you the sources of them. But let me tell you, there is loads of good stuff on this because it's a modern epidemic. So we start to work harder. Ambition, start to work harder. Through that, we can neglect our needs. I think this was Elijah. We can sleep erratically, skip meals, stop working out. Well, you can only stop working out if you start working out, can't you, for some, myself included. Forget to spend time with family and friends. So we neglect our needs. Our problems are displaced, meaning we don't focus on the issues we should be focusing on. It's all consumed over here with work, or it could be consumed with family. Yes, elderly relatives, but even just one in our family. And I think, you know, I've been like this as a dad, sometimes consumed with one in our family to be the best it can be and our kids to have every opportunity there is going. Dashing about here, there, and everywhere, and other needs get displaced. There's a revision of values. We stray from what's important, most important to us. We lose sight of the values we think we're doing all this for, like friends and family, but actually it's become now about something else, work, whatever. Self-care, here's a line, self-care is dismissed as trivial. Lunches for wimps, who said that? Does anyone remember that? I've just come up with it. It's a classic line. Who? Margaret Thatcher. No, Del Boy. Sorry. You thought I was more cultured than I am, Peter. No. Del Boy, lunches for wimps. You know, just self-care is dismissed as trivial. Your entire self-worth is derived from productivity and accomplishments. Is this ringing any bells? Denial, say six, denial of new problems. You blame time and work pressure for your stress instead of recognizing how you've changed. Stage seven, withdrawal. I think maybe there was something of that to Elijah. Your social life feels small or non-existent. Stage eight, impact on others. Your burnout is now concerning your family and impacting your family. Stage nine, and we're into the serious stage here, depersonalization. You're a shell of your former self going through the motions. Stage 10, inner emptiness. You start to feel worthless. You were Adam Peaty, you know, chasing the achievement, actually just felt he hadn't achieved. Elijah, you know, what have I done? Take my life. What have I achieved? And maybe, you know, we find that we were climbing the wrong ladder. We were chasing after the wrong. It's not going to satisfy us, whatever that thing is. You start to feel worthless as if all your effort is for naught. Stage 11, it can move into depression, and stage 12, full burnout syndrome. I wonder if there were any red flags for any of us there. And I'm not, listen, brother, sister, I'm not sharing this to condemn anyone. And part of why I think I'm hopeful about sharing this is if we find ourselves looking at ourselves and we go, do you know what, there's some stuff there for me. There's help out there. There's help in this community. There's help in the word. There's other help. People can advise us. There's all sorts of things. I've come across, have I skipped it? I've come across this guy, a guy called Carey Newhoff. Okay, heard him recently at a conference. I've read one of his books previously. I just really encourage you. He's a Christian writer, a pastor who went through burnout. And he writes on it really, really well. So if anyone's got anything that they'd, you know, they'd like to dig into, I encourage you to follow up on that. I would have just said his name, but there's no way you'd have got his surname, is there? So I just really encourage you. Let's see what's out there. So any red flags for any of us? Anything we need to monitor? Well, let's try and pick out some lessons then that maybe can avoid us going too far down this spectrum, this slope, as it were. I want to say firstly then, there is hope. There is hope. We can renew our strength. Isaiah 40, they will renew their strength. Our youth, our energy can be renewed. And I've said before, I've shared these verses probably more than any verses in my time here, and particularly recent years. That's partly because I think they've spoken to me so powerfully, but I also think they are verses for our society, because we need to hear this. This is what Jesus says to you. Maybe you just want to close your eyes and just receive this. If any of this is resonating, Jesus wants to say to you, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is a promise to us. That's a promise. That's a promise Jesus makes there. But here's the thing. We may need to make some changes. We will need to come to him. Those verses, those that hope in the Lord, those that wait upon God, we do have to wait upon him. That seems to speak to me is we may have to ask him, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me now? That's waiting upon God. Is there anything you want to say to me? Is there anything I'm not hearing? Is there anything I need to obey? You see, we can't expect to carry on with the same behavior and not get rest if we're not getting rest now. I came across this line. It was coined for businesses, but I think it's great for our lives. Every system is perfectly designed for the results it achieves. Every system is perfectly designed for the results it achieves. So if you are absolutely shattered on an ongoing basis and exhausted, your lifestyle is perfectly designed for that. There may be other factors, I understand. It might be illness and there may be outside factors. But if there aren't, our lifestyles, the lifestyles we choose, that we're in charge of, are perfectly designed for what's happening. That's both a challenge and the opportunity of wonderful liberty, because we're in charge of that. So firstly, there is hope. Secondly, I encourage us. One of the things Ali and I have tried to do, particularly in recent years, try and put healthy rhythms in place wherever possible. Some seasons you just have to get through. You just have to manage them, okay? We've come across this TV comedy called Children Ruin Everything. Right, let me first say, that's not the sentiment of the TV show, okay? It's ironic. What it's saying is this. It's a couple, they have these kids, and what they're saying is this. Having children, who knew? Having children makes a big impact on your life. Who knew? Who knew? And some of these seasons, you just have to manage as best you can and move through. I can remember when, before we had children, I used to keep a journal, write down these deep, profound lessons, things that the Lord was showing me. Up until February the 17th, 1993, when Josh was born. My journal goes months with nothing in it, nothing in it, as I am whacked at night, we're not sleeping as well, you know, routines and all the rest of it. Who knew that children make an impact? And some seasons you just have to manage, you just have to recognize, this is part of why we've done this series, You just have to recognize, I'm in this season now. I need to understand that. I can't expect to do everything. So I encourage us, be kind to yourself in that season. Just look after yourself. Don't try and do everything in some of these seasons. If you're in a season caring for an elderly relative where you're up and down motorways and you haven't got that time, don't at the same time start a PhD or whatever. You know, try and look after those small things. Try and get some easy wins. If you're married, try and have dates with your wife, your husband. If you've got friends, try and go out for coffee every now and again. It may not be as frequent as it was, but just these things that perhaps fill our tank. Try and meet with the Lord in a quiet time, somehow or another. Just manage this situation. Don't just surrender to it and kind of collapse in it. Some of these things can keep you buoyed. There's a great question then. Do you know what fills your tank? Do you know what fills your tank? I ask people this sometimes as a pastor. I say, right, you're going through this stuff. Okay, take stock of that, but do you know what fills your tank? Do you know some things that may just keep you a bit buoyed? I find a lot of people turn around to me. Once I've explained what I mean by that, I find a lot of people turn around to me and go, I don't know. I don't know what I do for my own soul care. It's so important. And hey, brother, sister, give yourself permission to do it. If it's going and drinking great coffee, go and drink some great coffee. Looking after yourself is so vital for the sake of the others around you. So put in place healthy rhythms. Let's crack on. Understand, God gives us limits for a reason. Carrie Newhoff, this was his primary lesson to understand after his burnout. God gives us limits for our own good. Your resources, your strength and energy are finite. You are not Superman or woman. And you're certainly not Jesus. And even Jesus needed to rest. Limits exist. We need to understand our limits. God does not expect us to work. He just has not wired us to work 16 hours a day, week in, week out, year in, year out. Some amazing individuals or different individuals he might have done. But most of us he hasn't. And he's made us, he's wired us. And I said this last time I spoke in this series, to have Sabbath, to have rest. The French revolutionaries tried to do away with Sabbath, had a 10-day week, and society collapsed. They couldn't do it, couldn't keep it up. Why? Because God's wired us this way. And you cannot keep stretching the elastic band and not expect it to snap. So pace yourself. Understand you've got limits. You can't necessarily have it all now. You may have to plan. Okay, this is a season we're in. That thing I wanted to do over there, that thing I wanted to pursue, will need to wait. And you'll have to trust the Lord for that. This is a good question. I think this is a good question. You need to ask yourself, we need to ask ourselves, is it really just a season? What I mean by that is this. I talk to people sometimes and I go, it sounds like you're really busy and perhaps tired. And they go, it's just a season. Well, here's my question then. When will that end? Are you sure that will end? Why will it end? What's going to happen that's going to end, change that? Because if you can't answer those questions for yourself, you may be on a long road now that is actually a lifestyle you're now living. It's not a season, it's a lifestyle now. And if it's a lifestyle where you're going full out, opening up on all fronts all the time, you're not going to be able to keep that up. I promise you, you won't be able to keep that up without negative consequences. I promise you. I promise you. Don't want it to happen. So maybe we need to ask ourselves this question. We're going deeper now, literally. We need to resolve underlying issues. You see, there are all sorts of motivations and drivers in us to be opening up like that and chasing and driving and trying to make it happen and burning out. There's all sorts of underlying issues that we may need to address. We need to ask ourselves, what's below the surface driving us? Simon cited that. I've known what this is like. For me, it was performance. It was trying to please a father figure, just trying to, you know, perform. Carrie Newhoff says, your unresolved past will sink your future. Your unresolved past will sink your future. A lot of this, I think, is wrapped up in things like identity. Where's our identity? Is our identity in the achievement or the fact that our family, our kids are doing so well? Who are we trying to prove ourselves to? There is, this will make some of you squirm. There is a correlation between perfectionism and burnout. Show of hands, those of us that are perfectionists in the room, don't worry. But some of us are. And it may need professional intervention to dig into what's below the surface so we understand ourselves. I'm talking there about counsellors, not because, you know, we're cracking up or anything, but just because we don't always understand what's going on in here. I've had counselling before. I don't understand what's going on in here. I've had prayer ministry where the Lord ministers to some of that that's in here and assures me, you see, fundamentally our identity needs to be in our sonship and daughtership. That we're at ease with him, that we know his voice telling us, this is my son, I love him, I'm well pleased. So there's no, I don't need to strive because I'm loved. So we need to resolve the underlying issues. Cracking on, a couple more. We may need to change circumstances if necessary and declutter. Not everything we chase is essential. We just think it's worth having. And we may need to declutter. I had a sense this morning, you know, when we were singing his, Your Name is Jesus, Speak Jesus, Your Name is Life. And I just had a sense for some of us, you perhaps need to declutter for that life to flow, because at the moment it's crowded out by everything we're chasing. You see, Jesus said, didn't he? What good is it if we gain the whole world and yet lose ourselves? Lose our soul. Yes, it means eternally, but it also means just lose who we are. And don't know who we are anymore because we've so chased whatever this is out here. Alex Pang, this is challenging. We need to figure out, this is a guy who writes on these issues. We need to figure out if the sacrifices that put us at risk of burnout, meaning sacrificing our family, our well-being, perhaps our marriages, our relationships, we need to work out if those sacrifices are worth making for the sake of our jobs, careers, or whatever else it is. Are they worth it? No job is worth your marriage or worth your relationships with family and friends or worth your health. I know people in this room have made costly decisions in terms of material benefit for the sake of their health, and I commend them for it. And then finally, let's reach out in all of this. If we're in these situations, Simon cited the people around him, Martin cited his wife and family, let's reach out. It may mean we need to make ourselves vulnerable. I quite like, there's a lot you Google, whenever you Google for kind of pictures, you know, Jesus or Christian stuff, it can be really cheesy. I don't mind this one. This is, I guess, Jesus reaching down to Peter who's sinking. And we need to reach out to Christ and others if we feel there might be something going on in me. I'm a bit worried for myself. I think I might be overcooking it. I don't quite know how to get out of it. Well, firstly, just tell someone. Just tell someone you don't know. Just tell someone you don't know. Make yourself vulnerable. Kerry Newhoff again says, the way through, but this was his conclusion, the way through burnout is through community and friendships and relationships. You see, just the act of sharing, I spoke with someone this week and they said, it was just good to share. No advice, just share. It alleviates the burden. But having people can, for example, keep us accountable. We do need keeping accountable, don't we? If we're serious about dealing with the issues, folks can give us advice. So I want to encourage us as a church community, let's drop the facade that we've got it all together and we're okay, and there are times to let that down. Okay. So we have this promise that we can soar on wings like eagles. We may need to put the work in ourselves, though. we may need to make some changes. We may need to manage wisely through certain situations. Just get through it. Just recognize it's a season. Get through it as best you can. That's fine. Gary Newhoff says, do what you can do. Just do what you can do. Just keep turning up for work. Keep getting the kids up in the morning. Keep looking after mum, dad, whatever it is. Sometimes you just got to get through it. But do what you can do to look after yourself as wisely as you can. Ask for help. I do think as a church community, we probably don't do this enough. Just offering time to look after someone or go out for coffee with someone or just love on people, practically help them. And let's not be chasing everything. So Jesus says to us, So Jesus says to us to come. And I encourage us, we're going to do that now. I hope it's been helpful. For some of us, it may even be a word from the Lord. For some of us, we can tell there's some stuff going on like this that we probably need to attend to. So we're going to come to him. If you need to come to him, wait upon him in a more significant way, Michelle and Alf and various others in the church here on our pastoral care team, and they are quality people who are good at what they do, and I encourage you to come and chat. Like I say, it may be actually you need to take it a step further and you just need to go and talk to the doctor. But we're going to just ask the Lord to refresh us now. Jeff, I think we've got it down anyway. Dear Lord and Father.
Yeah, that's next.
Such a good song. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our lives the strain and stress and let our ordered lives confess. Ordered. We do need to try and orchestrate around what Jesus is telling us to do. Drop some things, declutter. Let our ordered lives confess, because ordered lives will confess the beauty of his peace. I think it's a great song. I almost feel it's a bit like when we come to communion and Paul says, examine yourself. Let's sing this almost as preparation, examining ourselves. And then we'll ask maybe the Spirit to come and just refresh us. So let's sing this, can we? Thanks, Jeff.